What's up, guys? Bob Busker here at Think Computers. Welcome to episode 17 of our weekly tech podcast. This week's episode is brought to you by Amazon. This is kind of where we buy all of our computer hardware, or pretty much anything else you can pretty much buy from Amazon. We'd really appreciate it if you are going to buy anything from Amazon. Go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon. That helps us out and keeps this podcast going. This morning with me, I have Derek, as always, coming to you from Michigan, right? I always forget. I always forget where you live. I'm like, it's some place that there's nothing fun to do. I guess it's Michigan. That's
not entirely true, Bob, but sometimes.
Most of the time. Where out of Michigan?
Grand Rapids area, so West Coast. West Coast of Michigan.
Oh, okay. I was like, West Coast? I was like, really?
Yeah. We got a lake and stuff, so.
Yeah. I was up there once, and there was not a lot
to
do.
Yeah, you were there in, like, the worst time of the year and for one night, so. That's not really what people, like, come to Michigan to do anyways. We have, like, a lot of outdoor stuff, so. Yeah, you probably would never come to Michigan.
Yeah, I do outdoor stuff.
Oh. Like what?
Hiking and boating and
there end of the list there
hockey
hockey you watch hockey?
No, I used to play hockey. Did you not know that?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I played hockey all my life. But anyways,
all right,
let's get to tech stuff so we don't keep on rambling. This week we had two reviews that I did of two really great products. I was really actually excited for both of these products. The first one is the Mushkin Reactor solid-state drive. I took a look at the 512-gigabyte version. This solid-state drive came out earlier this year, and when it came out, it was only available in a 1-terabyte version, which, of course, is a good thing because we want solid-state drives to get, obviously, larger in capacity. But this drive, now it's available in 256 and 512 gig, and I looked at the 512 gig. It's a solid drive all around. It's built on Silicon Motion's SM2246EN controller. Good speeds, of course, solid across the board. Good for power as well because it supports the different sleep modes and all of that kind of stuff. Yeah, I can't really say anything that bad about it. They've kept the price down too. It's very inexpensive for the capacity.
Is it $165.99 or $512?
I think that's what it is.
That's what you got in the review. That's great.
Yeah, for a 512 gig. I mean, they've kept the cost down because it doesn't come with any cloning software. You know, it doesn't come with the 7mm to 9.5mm adapter, right, which a lot of people don't need specifically, and you can buy those if you actually really need one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it doesn't come with any of that stuff. They kept the price down. So, you know, typically when you look at this stuff, you're like, oh, it's a cheap drive. It's going to perform kind of crappy. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, cheap as in terms of price. But the controller's proven to work, and a lot of drives that I've seen in the higher capacity, especially up towards 1 terabyte, they don't perform as well with the higher capacity. You know, the
really?
Controller can't handle it properly, but this controller can.
Nice.
So yeah, so it's a really like I said, for the price, you're getting a really great drive. You really can't go wrong with it. If you're looking to upgrade now, of course, like I said, the higher capacity as well. Like I said, $165 for the 512 gig. So that's quite a good price. And I didn't have any issues with it. Ran through all the tests, did everything great. Just an overall good drive.
Nice.
Yeah. So like I said, if you're looking to get an SSD and you're not looking to really break the bank, this would be one to definitely look at. And it's not one of the cheaper drives that you've seen that are based on really older controllers. This is a newer controller, so you're going to have all of that kind of stuff. Like, you know, it's not going to fail. It's going to have the, obviously, like the power saving stuff that a lot of the old controllers don't have. It's going to be able to handle compressible data like the older SandForce controllers can't.
Right.
So all that good stuff. Good drive. Really liked it.
And a good size that should last you for quite a while.
Yeah, so the capacity is one of the good selling points of that as well. But moving on from that, I took a look at a X99 motherboard, the Gigabyte X99 Gaming 5P. I really took my time with this review because Gigabyte, this is kind of like the second round of X99 motherboards. You know, when Haswell E first came out, of course, we had our first round of, you know, all the motherboards that launched with the with Haswell E, and now we're on the second round, and Gigabyte has done some things to really because this is the upgrade or the new version of the X99 Gaming 5 that has been out for a while now. And the Gaming 5P adds a lot of things. The biggest thing that they've added is the actual socket is different. So when Haswell E launched, of course, we have the 2011 V3 socket, 2011 pins. And Asus was the only people to figure out that the actual contacts on the bottom of the Intel CPU actually had 283 pins. Right. So when Asus launched their X99 motherboards, they had this thing called the OC socket. And now it kind of everybody has really figured out that it's there. So Gigabyte has added that socket. And what that actually does, the extra pins and all of that actually make it more stable for overclocking. And actually tested this in the review. So you can actually turn the pins on and off. You can actually turn them off with a switch on the motherboard. So the switch is turned on by default. And I went in, and of course I did all my overclocking and all that with the pins turned on. And then with them turned off, while both were able to reach the same 4.4 gigahertz overclock, when I had the pins turned off, a lot of my stability testing, it wouldn't run. It would just instantly blue screen. Whereas when I did it on the... with the OC socket turned on, or with the pins turned on,
A little more power.
Yeah, it actually was more stable. Nice. So it's because I kind of want. It's kind of like you think. So
yeah, this you might, wonder if it's a gimmick.
Yeah, this might be a gimmick or something like that, but it's really not. So that's one of the big things that they added. Also, they added XMP support for DDR4 up to 3,333 megahertz. So that's pretty high for DDR4.
And that's just an XMP profile.
Yeah, so that's supported out of the box, and a lot of motherboards don't obviously have that. One other cool thing about this is that one of the PCI Express slots has a direct connection with the CPU. So a lot of motherboards don't have that as well. So what that means is that graphics card is going to run at X16 speed all the time. Doesn't matter how many cards you have installed, it will always run at X16 speeds. So typically, if you have four graphics cards installed, they're all going to run at X8 speed. That's just how it's designed. But the way Gigabyte has done this is that it's a true X16 slot, has direct connection with the CPU.
So what does it do then? Does it 16 time and then 3/8 time, or what does it break down?
Yeah. So if you have four cards installed, three of them will run at X8 speed, and the one will run at X16 speed.
That's still not bad, especially considering there's no controller for it. So
yeah. So in the one, this is a gaming board too. So the spacing on the PCI Express slots, all four of them, are perfect. It's perfect. Yeah. It's set up for this. Other gaming features, it has the Core 3D sound chip, which is one of the best out there, and it comes with its own software, so you can completely customize all of that. Killer E2200 networking, of course, that's the gaming networking chip. Obviously takes a load off your CPU.
Have you tested and found that actually...
Yeah, we did a big thing years ago when it first came out to really test if that actually works. Because a lot of people think, oh, it's just a gimmick. But actually, no. Because a lot of times, like I said, your networking controllers and all of that, they use some of your power from your CPU. And this doesn't. This is fully its own chipset, so that your CPU doesn't take any of it. And we did it, this is like years ago, this is maybe like 2 or 3 years ago. Colin did a big write up on this, and he tested everything.
He didn't know.
Yeah, so this actually, because when it first came out, this is, like I said, this is years ago when, Killer first came out and did all this. We're like, let's test this, So.
Yeah.
We worked with them and we tested everything, and it does take the load off the CPU and actually gives you better frame rates as well.
Now, did you guys do that with an onboard chip or with an add-in card? Because I know Killer did add-in cards first for a really long time.
I believe it was an add-in card.
too long ago. Too many reviews.
Yeah,
in between.
Yeah. So it's been a while, but we did prove that what they were claiming was actually true. That's and cool. I would assume that's true for their onboard chips as well. Okay. But yeah. So back to the motherboard. Really great motherboard. If you're looking for a gaming motherboard, this is one I would definitely recommend. Has everything gaming specific that you would want. And again, it overclocked well. 4.4 gigahertz is what we've been able to reach with our Haswell E processor on every motherboard we reviewed. That's kind of the stopping point. I think I've seen a lot of reviews. That's kind of the stopping point for most people who are doing, you know, who have the type of setup that we do. So it's just a great motherboard. I think the motherboard's just over $300, which isn't bad as well.
I really like, I know that all Gigabytes have had this, but I really like the built-in LEDs under the board too. That looks really good.
There's three illumination parts on the board. There's the PCH heatsink at the bottom has a really big LED strip on it, and then the PCB isolation for the audio chip. That we've seen that on a lot of motherboards. That has a LED trace in it, and then the actual I/O shield on the on your rear I/O, the thing you install on your case, that actually plugs into the motherboard as well, and that lights up. So that's actually pretty cool. And of course, gaming, people gaming, you're bringing this to LAN parties, and typically if you're a gamer, most gamers that I know have a window in their case too. Mm-hmm. So it allows you to kind of show off everything.
It's really cool accents.
Yeah, so and that what's crazy is that sells, right?
It really does.
Yeah, so and the thing is too, what's cool is there's software that comes with the motherboard that allows you to control it. So if you don't want those LEDs on, you can turn them off. You can have them like blinking mode, all that kind of gimmicky stuff. Yeah. So again, really great motherboard. Again, I really took my time with the review. I go pretty in depth because there's a lot of features in this. And I usually try to go pretty in depth with our motherboard reviews. So definitely check that out if you're looking for a Haswell E motherboard or a gaming motherboard in general. This is one of the better ones out there. And again, it's only $300, which isn't bad for the Haswell E platform.
Yeah, when you're on that platform for sure.
Yeah. So those were the two reviews this week. Yeah, definitely check them out. We're going to move on to our Case Mod Friday, which is where we go out and we find a case mod or a build in the community that's just awesome. Case modding has been around for a long time, and it really, I guess it just kind of helps out the PC industry, really shows what you can do with PC components and all that. And this one was actually sent to us. It's kind of funny because we have a list of case mods that we follow in the community, and this one was actually on it. And then earlier this week, the guy actually emailed me, and he wanted to be featured. So this is
nice.
This is called White Metropolis. And it is, I love the colors, if anything, on this.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for a white case, so the second I saw it, I was like, oh, that looks good.
Yeah, so it's built in the Case Labs Mercury S5, and Case Labs is, of course, synonymous with, especially water, high-end builders and water cooling. These are really, really high-end cases.
If you're serious about your build, Case Mods is going to be on your list of cases to look at.
Yeah, so this it's called White Metropolis, and it has sort of like a city theme. He actually did a custom job, like custom painting and custom engraving on the SSD and on the GPU block. And it's just if you're looking at anything in this build, just the colors are just so amazing to me.
He uses a baby blue, a pastel baby blue, and it really pops off the white really well.
Yeah, so it's all really done. Of course, custom water cooling loop, ton of custom things. He laser cut a lot of things in this. Obviously, custom sleeving on the power supply to match the build. It's just done really well. And, like, I just, that cool, like, the logo he came up with for the Metropolis, like, it's just
He uses skylines from three different cities that he got into that, I guess, and picked out his three favorite cities from around the world.
Yeah,
and then they're in it.
And then one of the coolest parts of the build too is that he made a channel, a water cooling channel in the base of the case that actually has that skyline.
Right, and we've seen that a few times, but he does a really good job with it.
Yeah, his implementation of everything is just great. And the color matching is perfect. The painting that he did on the, on the SSD matches the coolant perfectly. And that's kind of something that's really hard to do. I think a lot of people
actually work really hard.
Yeah, a lot of people don't match that up as well. And if you look at the one picture, let me see if I can send it to you. there's the one picture that I'm going to send to you right now. It is, you can see how well he matched up the color, and I think that's one thing again that we don't see in a lot of mods, is how well the color is matched.
You know, one thing that struck me about this build is it's really, really well done. And he's got some really neat features, but it's also not like too far out of reach. This is a build that with a little bit of practice, I think a lot of people could probably do. So this is something you can really draw some inspiration from as you know, an everyday, you know, PC enthusiast.
Yeah,
maybe
because it's
beginning
not
hardware builder.
Yeah, especially like the water cooling loops and everything like that. You know, you can do this stuff if you learn how to do it.
Yeah.
And that's what's great
about...
A little bit
of practice, and you can do something similar.
That's what's great about, obviously, like, the modding community and the build, you know, people who are doing custom builds, is because it shows you what's possible.
Yep.
And, you know, if you have the enough determination and, you know, you can sit down and plan out your build, you can really build things like this and have an awesome system that you want to show off, that you want to take to LAN parties, that you want to have sitting on top of your desk, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't have to have that 1995 cluster of wires inside a metal box.
Yeah, yeah. So it's really great. And this was done by GH Custom PC. We actually linked to their website, and he has a lot of cool stuff on there as well. Looks like, just like I said, he does really good work, especially, like I said, the attention to detail and all of that in this build is great.
The color matching is really good.
The
picture with the solid-state drive with the... Is this a sticker on it, or did he actually paint that? It doesn't really matter, but it's really, really close to the coolant, though.
Yeah, so it's really, really well done. So definitely check that out. And like I said, we have a ton of builds. We do a Case Mod Friday, obviously, every Friday. So we always feature builds and things that are going on in the community. So if you want to kind of get some inspiration or see what's possible, you know, check out our Case Mod Friday section. There are a ton of awesome builds in there. I think one of yours is in there, isn't it?
Yeah, my last one. I haven't done it in a while, but yep.
Yeah, so we have a bunch in there, so you definitely can go ahead and check that out. And now we'll move on to news. And this week was E3, which is pretty exciting. It's not as exciting for PC folks, but we had some cool stuff.
There was way more cool stuff than I expected.
Yeah, for PC, typically E3 is a kind of console. It's a console show. There's not a whole lot of cool stuff for PC, but there were some really cool things that we did see for PC. So we're going to talk about that first before we go into, of course, the big news this week. But first was we saw some Doom E3 gameplay. It was just awesome.
Yeah.
You know, the new Doom is coming out next year, and this is it's just being called Doom. It's not going to be Doom 4. But just it looks visually awesome. Two, the gameplay mechanics kind of bring it back to the old school, and there's a lot of blood and gore. We'll link to our article actually has a video in it that has the entire gameplay, and it's awesome.
Yeah, it's just flat out awesome.
Yeah, it really makes me want to, you know, actually get the game and play it. You know, I don't.
This will be one of the must plays of 2016.
Yeah, I don't get excited for that many games really anymore, but this. You know, this is one of the games. I saw this and I was like, wow, like this looks awesome.
You know what struck me, like as he was playing through it, I know it's probably a dev playing and he's really, really good at it, but like it just feels like the game makes you feel powerful. And like that's just fun, like just shooting things and just blasting through your way through it. So.
Yeah, totally. So definitely just check out the gameplay. You'll definitely get excited for the game. It kind of sucks that we have to wait till probably like second half of 2016 to see it, but it definitely looks like an awesome game. The gameplay mechanics are great, a lot of blood, a lot of gore, all that kind of stuff. So definitely check that out. Something that also is really cool, really kind of interesting, is Fallout 4 is coming out next year as well, I believe, or is it this year? I didn't put that in the article. But anyways,
It's next year, though.
In all of the Fallout games, one of the things that you use in the game is called a Pip-Boy. And what that is, it's a little kind of computer that kind of sits on your wrist, and it's in every game. You use it to get information about what's going on in the game and all that kind of stuff. But what they've actually announced is that they're going to actually have a collector's edition that comes with a real Pip-Boy that sits on your wrist that actually works with the game as you're playing it.
That's what's crazy.
Yeah, so that's, what it's really cool. What it is, it's more or less it's a holder for your mobile device, so iPhone or Android. So your iPhone or Android kind of sits in there, and then you close it, and then it comes, like, you know, there's a display, and they've developed an app, you know, iOS and Android, that works with your game. So it connects to your Wi-Fi network, and it works with the game that you're playing, and it will display relevant information. So it's kind of that third screen experience. We've seen that with a couple games where if you have a tablet, you can have different information, you know, come up on the tablet as you're playing. This is kind of like the same type of thing, but just the implementation just looks exactly like it does in the game. So it's actually pretty cool.
Super nerdy.
Yeah, super nerdy.
Really awesome.
And if you're a Fallout fan, you'll love this. If you have no clue what we're talking about, then you might not. But I would just check out our post, and if you haven't played Fallout, this is something that's actually really cool. And I love to see this because I remember back in the day, getting, you know, going to what was GameStop before it was GameStop?
Oh shoot.
I forget what it was called. But anyways, I would go to the mall when I was younger, and I'd go in there, and they had the special editions of some games came with cool stuff. Like, I remember, like, the original Warcraft. Like, you remember the battle chest? Like, the Warcraft battle chest and things like that? It was just cool to get extra stuff with your game, and I love that companies are still doing this because, you know, most of the time, too, is that we're not getting physical copies of these games anymore. We're just going to Steam, and that's what we're, you know. So it's cool to see this. It's cool to see companies still doing this for their hardcore gamers.
More value.
Yeah, and it's a collector's item. It's just something that's cool, something that, you know, a couple of my buddies who are really into gaming, they have like a section of like their house or whatever that has like shelves and has like all their collector's edition stuff and all that kind of, you know. So definitely something really cool to see them do. And again, I believe this comes out next year.
I know my old roommate is probably already pre-ordered this if that's available.
So the third and final game that we're going to talk about is Star Wars Battlefront, which I'm actually super excited for. I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
The more of these videos I watch, the more excited for this game.
Yeah, so a lot of people are saying that it looks like Battlefield, with a with a Star Wars skin, which doesn't really bother me because Battlefield 4 is a great game, and the mechanics of the game are good. They work well, and to have that in a Star Wars type of environment, I feel, is great. So the first thing that they showed off was 40 player multiplayer in the the Battle of Hoth, or the Assault on Hoth. If you know what that is, that is what is that? That's from Return of
the beginning of number 2.
Yeah, Return of the Jedi, right?
No, Empire Strikes Back.
Okay, sorry, I have mine all messed up. But it is when they're on the I guess you would call it the ice island, or the ice planet.
Hoth is an ice planet.
Yeah, Hoth is an ice planet. So it's the one where they're in the base, and then all of the guys come in and try to get them, and they actually escape in the Millennium Falcon. So if you're familiar with that, this is that kind of mission or map, and it's 40 player multiplayer, which is going to lead to some awesome battles, I feel.
It should be epic.
Yeah, so it looks great, and the video that they released actually shows you not only as being somebody on the ground, it shows you in the walkers, it shows you in the TIE fighters, it shows you as a Jedi too. So there's a lot of different things. They show a lot in this video. This one, the video that they shown was from PlayStation 4, but we should expect to see the exact same experience on PC.
Hopefully even better.
Yeah, better quality, obviously. All that kind of
stuff. Is the 40 player, is that on PlayStation as well?
Yes.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
They're doing things with console. Other
Yeah,
than that.
yeah. So that's kind of what they showed. The first thing that they showed, which again was just 40-player multiplayer and anything. I remember when the first Battlefield games came out and we were able to do 60. You know, they had the 64-player.
Yeah.
And when you first saw, I think it was Battlefield 3.
Yep.
They showed, I forget what map it was, with the one with the big antenna in it.
Yep.
They showed that, and when I first, I was like, wow, I just want to play this right now.
It was awesome.
Yeah, so, you know, having that in a Star Wars environment to me is just awesome.
Yeah, I mean, just think, like, so you're playing, you die, you respawn. Oh, there's a TIE fighter available. I'm getting in the TIE fighter. There's an AT-AT. I'm going to get in that.
Yeah, like, so it's just... It's
gonna be cool.
Yeah. So the second thing that they showed was they're gonna have survival missions, which is kind of like something that has been very popular.
Yeah, like the Call of Duty. What was that?
I don't know.
Shoot, I forget. It was a survival mode in Call of Duty. That's what everyone's into. But I'm not a big COD guy.
Yeah, I don't play Call of Duty. But it's more or less where waves and waves of enemies come at you, and you have to survive. And that's this gameplay mechanic has been really popular in so many different games, and we've seen mods for it and games built around that mechanic as well. So this will be built into Star Wars Battlefront. They showed they showed co-op playing it. It just looks great. It looks like, you know, there's certain missions where the more troops come at you, and obviously you have to, you know, defeat each wave, and then it actually lets you know how many enemies are left and all that kind of cool stuff. Just looks really great. And again, it just gets me more excited about the game, because when the game was first announced, I think it was like a couple months ago, I was excited for it because I'm a Star Wars fan, and then all of the, you know, the 40-player multiplayer, and now this makes me really this is probably a game I'm definitely gonna buy and definitely gonna play.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so
you know what, the trailer for the co-op survival mode, actually I thought that one showed off the weapons a little bit better. It made me like give a better feel for the way the weapons are going to handle and what kind of weapons you're going to be able to use and how you're going to be able to use them. So I thought that was pretty cool. It's worth watching both videos for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely worth watching both videos, you know, to see what the game is all about. Again, this game's going to be available, I forget the November, do I have it in here? No, it's, I think it's November 14th. It's this November, the game's going to be available. So, you know, and it's going to be available if you're not a PC gamer, obviously Xbox One, PS4, and, I think it's Xbox 360 as well. And also, obviously PC. So it's available on all platforms. It's going to be a great game, I feel. I'm definitely going to get it because I love Star Wars.
Yep.
So that is E3 news for us. Everything PC-based. There's a lot of great console news. If you're into consoles, there's obviously we don't cover that stuff, but a ton of great sites that have covered E3, so there's a lot of cool stuff there. So we'll go to the AMD news this week, and there was a ton of AMD news this week. Just for the fact that they had their event, they announced their graphics cards, all of that kind of stuff. So the biggest thing, first, they announced their 300 series of graphics cards, and those are all rebrands. That's not super exciting. After what they announced, which we'll get into, I'm not super disappointed in that fact. I feel that they kind of had to do that for what they actually the big stuff that they announced. But so for everybody who obviously is listening, we're not going to go into detail on the whole 300 series because it's all rebrands and we've talked about it for weeks now. So everything that we had been hearing about the 300 series is true. They're all rebrands.
Exactly.
So like the 390X is actually a 290X, all that kind of stuff. Obviously they've bumped up the clock speed a little bit and added more memory, but that is about it. On that kind of stuff.
And you can actually reflash your 290X to a 390X.
Yes.
Firmware or BIOS. So, maybe just buy a 290X.
Yeah. So that's kind of what happened on 300 series, but. AMD had their events at E3, and they announced their Fury and Fury X cards. So we'll start with the big cards, which of course are the Fury and the Fury X. The Fury X is their will be their flagship single chip card, and this one is 100% water cooled. So it's the only version you're going to be able to buy will be water cooled. It will be available. I do have the dates in this one. It's going to be available for purchase on the 24th of this month, so June 24th. It will be $649, which is actually pretty decent pricing, I feel.
Same price as the 980 Ti.
Yes.
So, yeah, so I mean, just wait for the performance graphs.
Yes. So it will be $649. One thing that we didn't know about the card, because we've been covering the leaks all the past couple weeks on the card. We pretty much knew what it was going to look like. But the one thing that was actually pretty cool is on the edge of the card, there's actually like a tachometer that you can configure to show GPU load or temperature or anything like that. It's like eight LEDs that obviously will, you know, change.
Light up.
Will light up. So that's the only other thing that we really didn't know about it.
Which is a cool visual aids are nice.
Yeah, so, and then they're going to have the Fury, which will be an air-cooled card, and that will be available on July 14th for $100 less. It'll be $549. And from what we know, they're both the same card, more or less.
I would expect the Fury to be clocked slower, though, just because it doesn't have the cooling capability as the same as the Fury X.
I
guess they could be the same, but
yeah, I believe they're almost. From what I know, they're almost the same card.
Okay.
But I could be wrong.
Well, yeah.
But
you could still have the same chips and the same memory, just a slightly lower clocks due to the cooling. But
yeah,
I don't really know.
Yeah, I think they're the same, exact same. Just they're, you know, the thing about it, if you get a full cover water block for a graphics card, it's like $100.
Right.
So that's what the Fury X has. So they cut the price down, and it's air cooled. And this is going to be a big air cooler. It's not going to be something small.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen this card. AMD did not show the Fury. You know, there's been rumors that they're having issues with cooling it because it is,
right.
You know, because the Fury X, of course, needs the liquid cooling. And
yeah,
the Fury, obviously, is going to be air-cooled. It's going to be a big air cooler.
That will be the one, though, that people will buy to water cool with custom water cooling.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is that the Fury, we believe that there's going to be custom versions available. So all of the high-end cards, like, you know, your Asus Strix and, like, your MSI Lightning cards, you'll be able to see those for the Fury. But I believe the Fury X, that's only going to be, you know, that's going to be like you know, when Titan X first came out, it was only available as the reference. That's it.
Yeah. OEM only.
Yeah. So.
Gotcha.
So those were the first round of cards that were announced. Also, we actually did a thing where we detailed the cooling system on the Fury X. It's actually pretty cool. It needed to be custom designed for AMD. The cooling system is designed by Cooler Master, and it's cool that they've been able to kind of put everything in there. And there's actually, it's a combination of obviously water cooling, but they actually have a really cool heat pipe in there as well that cools off the VRMs and everything like that.
I was wondering how they were going to implement that.
Yeah, so it's really cool how it's all put together. We, like I said, we have an article up that kind of goes over the entire cooling system of the card, which is something that I don't think a lot of people covered, you know, just for the fact that it's custom design. It's not like this had to be designed specifically for this chip because no other nothing would fit it because it is such a large chip.
And it's really, I thought that I hadn't even thought of that till I read your article, in that it's a very unique layout with the high bandwidth memory on the chip as well. So you actually have to have, it's got a custom copper base, I assume it's copper base plate,
yeah,
or a cooling plate on the cooler itself. So that'd be interesting to get a look at.
Yeah, so we kind of gone on to detail on that. And actually in that post, there was actually the 4K Far Cry performance was listed from AMD,
right,
which is actually pretty good. You're going to have an average FPS of 54 in 4K on ultra settings in Far Cry 4, which is really good. You know, if you look at that compared to, say, Far Cry 4 on like a Titan X, it's around 42.
According to AMD.
Yeah, this is all AMD numbers, and we'll talk about numbers in a little bit too. And all of the numbers that have been released for the Fury card are all from AMD. From what we know, the NDA on reviews is the 24th when the card is actually released. So you probably won't see. You'll see some links. We'll probably have some links next week, I would assume. That's kind of how it goes. But anything really official, like official reviews from everybody, won't be till the 24th. So you're going to have to wait till the 24th to really see, you know, how this card performs, obviously, against the 980 Ti and the Titan X. So,
it'll be cool to see. Yes. Looking forward to those numbers.
Yes. So, at the event, my favorite card that AMD announced. So, we already had the Fury and the Fury X, and they announced the R9 Nano. And this is actually really cool. To me, I thought this was the best thing that they showed. One, because it's so small. So, it's actually a 6-inch card. 6 inches, that's it. Very, very small card. You know, and what
small, like your little add-in home theater card small.
Yeah, it's that small. It is a it's based off the Fiji Silicon. We assume, like I said, that they just showed it, they didn't really tell us, but we assume that it's going to be a cut down version of the Fury. So it's not going to be the same chip that's in the Fury X, obviously.
Because we did get a TDP number for it, correct?
Yes. So it will have a 175 watt TDP. So that is kind of on that's around like the GTX 970, is it?
Yeah, 970.
Yeah, so around the GTX 970. So the thing is,
not that you can directly compare TDPs,
yeah,
but you can compare that this is like 100 watts less than the Fury X.
Yes, and what's cool about it is air-cooled as well, so you won't have to worry about that big cooler in there. And I think this is really going to change the game as far as small form factor systems.
What you can do in such a small space.
What you can do in such a small space, this really showed it. It looks really great. Obviously, they said it's going to have it's going to perform better than the 290X, which, of course, if you think about it, the 290X was a very large card. And obviously, the 390X is the same card. So the, you know, have that amount of performance in such a small space seems, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, that's really not the 290X. It wasn't like it didn't beat out a lot of NVIDIA cards, but it's still a legitimate card.
Yeah, and again, this being air-cooled, it's going to fit in pretty much any small form factor system. You know, it's just really, really cool. Sadly, we don't know anything else about it as far as, you know, how, you know, what speeds or anything like that. It is expected to launch later this summer, which, you know, kind of makes sense, you know, AMD to release their higher-end cards, the Fury and Fury X. And then they'll have the lower end card, because if this card was available now, I think most people would pick up this card, just because it's so small and that they don't have to deal with the water cooling, and obviously it would be cheaper than the Fury X. But this just
and it is gonna have the 4 gigs of HBM.
Yes.
Or HMB.
Yeah.
HBM.
Yeah, it's gonna have 4 gigabytes of HBM. We know that for sure. It's just, I guess this kind of shows what the new architecture and the new design, obviously, with HBM and all of that is all about. This shows what you can do. And this kind of leads us to the future as well. So this is kind of showing that our graphics cards are going to be getting smaller. And
the performance still goes up.
Yeah, while the performance still goes up, and that's great. Again, that allows us to build smaller systems and, you know, stuff that we can take to LAN parties and obviously take up not a lot of space. So this is just really great. Again, I felt this, out of everything that AMD showed, I felt this was the star of the show, just because it's going to get high performance in a small form factor, and it's going to get high performance in the hands of more people, I feel.
This might not be like, it might not be the most groundbreaking performance exactly, but what's going to come from the development of this card is what we need to look forward to.
Yeah, so I was really impressed. And the thing is that we had saw so many pictures of, which is kind of funny because we saw so many leaks of the Fury X all last week. We saw all these leaked pictures and all that kind of stuff, and we didn't see a single leaked picture of the Nano.
No.
We knew there was a leaked document that said Nano.
We knew there was a card.
But it's kind of funny, so it makes you kind of think that did AMD leak all of those like purposely leak all of those other photos. Yeah. Because this card I felt really groundbreaking, especially the form factor, and that we didn't see any photos of it leaked or anything like that. And
even if people weren't excited for it, it still would have gotten leaked.
Yeah, so we had heard nothing about it, and when they pulled it out, just how small it is. Again, 6-inch card. That is super small.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just really, really cool. And again, I felt it was my favorite thing that AMD showed. And I will definitely get one.
Nice.
So, moving on from that,
I'm a little more excited for this next one.
Yeah, so this is something that we also didn't really hear a lot about as far as the leaks last week, and something that AMD also showed, which was equally as impressive as the R9 Nano. They showed a dual Fiji card, so that is two Fiji cores on a single card.
Full cores.
Yeah, full cores. Everybody's calling it the Radeon R9 Fury X2. Obviously, there's not a official name for it yet. They showed a prototype board that has the two chips on it, and again, it's not that big.
No.
Which is very, very impressive.
It's like a dual chip card the size of a regular single chip card. In fact, I'd actually say it's smaller still than the 290X.
It's smaller than the 290X. Again, it looks about like a GTX 970.
Yeah, really does.
So they showed this card. So if you know this is based off two full Fiji XT cores. So this would give the card a total of 8,192 stream cores, 512 TMUs, 128 ROPs, and then you would have 8 gigabytes of high bandwidth memory.
Of course, probably only 4 usable. Gigabytes of memory, because it's got to still operate the same as Crossfire always did.
Yeah, so
4 actually usable, but still
very, very impressive. Obviously, we didn't hear a lot about anything about this dual Fiji chip. No. I believe in the weeks coming up to this as well. So it's something that obviously is getting super enthusiasts excited. This card, if it's what it is, this is going to play 4K at 60 to 90 frames a second.
Yeah, this is going to be a monster.
Yeah,
honestly.
So what's kind of interesting is that the power, is only 2 8-pin PCI Express connectors.
It's still only
2 8-pins. It will only need at most 375 watts of power, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because it's like right around the same as my old 690 that I'm still running right now.
Yeah.
So only you're getting like probably double the performance.
Yeah, so very, very cool. Just the prototype board looks awesome. I mean, two GPUs on a single card always looks great. Obviously, we have that picture for you. And
PLX chip.
Yeah, PLX chip, obviously, that's the interconnect between the two chips. It just looks really cool as well. Definitely check that out if you want to see that card, because it's just awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think they'll be rare. A lot of times the dual chip AMD cards are pretty rare cards.
Yeah, it will be. It's going to be, you know, so many made. And again, we've heard reports. Obviously, we don't know, but there's not a lot of Fury X cards available right now. And there might be not a lot of stock when they first come out.
Maybe poor yields for the first round of Fiji,
yeah,
do we think?
Yeah,
maybe?
I think it's poor yields for HBM from what I've been hearing.
Okay.
But we don't know. That's all rumors, obviously. So, you know, when the card is released, we'll see how many are available, if they're sold out everywhere, all that kind of stuff. But the last thing that AMD showed was actually really cool. So they had a fully functional PC that was extremely small. But what was cool about...
And extremely powerful.
Yeah, extremely powerful. So it actually had that dual GPU card inside of it. And it's
crazy.
It's not much larger than a console. I mean, it is just small.
The actual processing and cooling unit is like probably smaller. It is probably smaller than a PS4.
Yeah, it's very, very small, and the fact that you can get that much power in such a small form factor was kind of what AMD was going to. It's called Project Quantum, and it's just this small form factor design they kind of came up with. Obviously, I don't think this is something that's going to go to market through AMD, at least. I think their main thing is they might lease out or the design. They might obviously, you know, give a design to, say, you know, CyberPower and all that kind of stuff. You know, and
I buy power
because the actual processor that's in the unit was Intel. It was an Intel.
That was funny. Yeah. I laughed. I definitely LOL'd when
Inside there's a custom version of an ASRock Z97E ITX motherboard with a Core i7 4970K double canyon processor. So it's obviously not a it's not you know, something that AMD is going to release, because I really don't feel like they're going to release a...
They could. Yeah. They'd be, like, selling themselves out.
But what's actually cool is AMD released a video showing the development and design of it, and just the whole water cooling system and everything that's built into this is just awesome.
Yeah, they actually threw a good amount of money and technical expertise at making this system.
Yeah, so I think this...
For something that's a one-off.
And this
right
kind of shows you what... the future is what and the demo unit that they had at the event worked. It wasn't something that was just sitting there that's like, oh, look at this box and nothing inside works. It's fully functional, which is kind of cool. It's just again, it just shows you what's possible and shows you maybe where we're going in the future with these kind of systems that a lot of people who maybe are typical console gamers that don't know how to build a PC that want to buy something that's the most powerful out there for PC gaming, especially PC gaming in the living room. This is something that is, you know.
Yeah. Well, they said that this is aimed at like, this is a virtual reality PC, right? This is what it would take to run a virtual reality headset.
Yeah. So that's this is one of the things that they also built this for, is to run VR. And obviously, early next year we'll see the
consumer version of
I can't think of it now.
And we should be able to, because we've used it.
Yeah. Wow. It's way too early then. It's way too early in the morning. Because I don't know how I can't think of it. Hold on. We're both looking this up as we
say. Yeah.
Oculus Rift. How did we not know that?
Dude, I don't feel like I'm like... I'm not a nerd anymore.
I know I'm kind of tired, but that's like really bad. Because like we should know this, because not only like we've covered this, you know,
thoroughly.
Yeah, thoroughly. So I don't know how we forgot that. But yeah, it's made to work with, you know, it's made to work with all these VR headsets. Obviously, early next year we'll see the first consumer version of Oculus Rift come out, and this is probably going to be, you know, maybe we might see a lot of these Project Quantums powering this at, you know, the trade shows we go to and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Because it's kind of made for that. So again, yeah, this is what this Project Quantum is kind of made for. Obviously VR, and then high end. You know, high-end gaming in a small form factor. Really cool technology if you're into kind of seeing how this thing is built. The video that AMD put out really shows you how it's built. Very cool.
The fact that they can run that dual GPU card and fully water cool it in that form factor is actually super impressive, because that thing is going to put off some massive
heat. Yeah, but also shows you this is something they obviously couldn't do with a Hawaii chip. Because that ran so hot. So this just shows you also the advancement with Fiji as far as how hot it gets and all of that. Very cool design.
It'd be cool to see if we see more of those, maybe an NVIDIA version. I don't know who else would build one.
We don't really know. Obviously, you just kind of have to see. And I guess, obviously, AMD owns this design. This design that they have, AMD owns it, so they'll have to, obviously, you know, lease it out to custom builders and all that kind of stuff. Very, very cool, though. So that was it for AMD's stuff that they showed. We have a little bit of other news this week. One thing that was released was 4K benchmarks. These numbers all come from AMD, but 4K benchmarks for the Fury X, and it does show that it, according to AMD numbers, it does show that the benchmarks are faster than the GTX 980 Ti. Across all 12 games that the Fury X beats out the 980 Ti. Again, we can't take these benchmarks. Obviously, this is from AMD.
Yeah, take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
That could be true.
So, again, we talked about this earlier, but the 24th is where when you're going to see all of the real reviews from all, you know, websites that, you know, from everybody. That's the embargo on the review. We know this. So that's when you're going to see everything. So, again, you can look at these and get excited for the card. But, again, just wait until the real performance reviews come out. Again, those are obviously going to show all of the gaming benchmarks as well as power consumption and things we really don't know about yet for the card. So,
and maybe hold on to your money for just another week.
Yeah, I'd wait till the reviews come out if you're really looking to purchase this. You know, obviously you're going to want to get it day one, but make sure you read the reviews before you go out and get it.
Yeah.
So that was it. And then I know you're really excited about this. Is that?
Dude, I'm like realizing that I need to start putting money away for this.
Yeah.
Right now.
So it is. Intel is expected to debut their Skylake processors at Gamescom 2015. Woo-hoo. So that is going to be held in Germany between August 5th and 9th. Now, this is when they're going to debut them. So this is when they're going to be, you know, be showing them off. But this is...
It won't take much longer, though, until they're available.
Yeah, so probably late August, probably the end of the month, we'll have the actual launch. They'll probably show them in, you know, at this event and all of that. And from what we know, especially from what we know at Computex, all of the motherboard manufacturers are more or less done with all of their Z170 motherboards, which are gonna which are made for Skylake. So that's all done. So it looks like we're gonna have a pretty solid release of all this stuff. And, you know, this will be the Core i7 6700K and the Core i5 6600K. Those are going to be the two high-end chips that are obviously going to be the true successors to the 4770K that a lot of people are still running. So this is going to these are going to be the true successors to that. It's going to be an exciting time, especially later this year. All the new motherboards are going to be coming out, as well as Skylake, which a lot of people are excited for. And it's cool because a lot of the motherboards and, you know, the controller supports both DDR3 and DDR4. Which is actually pretty cool. So you'll see motherboards that have DDR3, you'll see motherboards that have DDR4. It's very cool. And again, I love this time of year because I love motherboards. I mean, of course, I review the motherboards on the site, and I go into great detail on our motherboard reviews. So I just love seeing the whole new. Everybody has new motherboards, and obviously, each generation of motherboards from different manufacturers. Like we saw at Computex, there's just so much cool stuff being added every new generation, and we see all this cool stuff, new designs, new features, you know, all that kind of cool stuff.
Get excited all over again.
Yeah, so it's going to be a really exciting time of year. So definitely stay tuned for that. We will be reviewing a lot of that kind of stuff coming up. So definitely stay tuned for that. And is that it for the week? That is it.
That was it for news.
That is it for the news of the week. I know this is a very AMD heavy news week, but that's kind of how it kind of went out.
Kind of AMD heavy month.
Yeah. Because, of course, everybody was excited for the new cards and all of that.
Of course.
So next week, I will be taking a look at a graphics card, the Asus Strix GTX 970. So that is the, you know, of course, Asus is Strix brand. Obviously, GTX 970 card. It is overclocked. It has the 0dB technology on the cooling system, which means the fans won't spin up unless the GPU gets to a certain temperature, which is really great because, of course, you don't want your PC to sound like it's taking off or anything like that.
Yeah.
A lot of cool things in the Strix, you know, what they've done with this whole Strix brand, of course, which I'm going to go into great detail in our full review. A lot of cool stuff coming next week as far as graphics card stuff that I will be talking about. So
nice.
I'll be taking a look at that. And then the stuff I didn't get to this week, which I didn't really talk about because I guess I got food poisoning or something. I was very sick this week. That's why I didn't get to these other two reviews. The first one is a Sith Tatsumi CPU cooler. This is kind of made to be a replacement for the Intel stock CPU cooler. Give you a little bit better performance than that cooler. And, of course, it uses the same mounting system we've seen on other Sith products. So it should be quite easy to install, you know.
Yeah. Easy to use.
Yeah, easy to use, easy to install.
Entry-level design.
Yeah, entry-level cooler, so be interested to see how well it performs. It should do pretty well. and all that. So that is that. And then I'll be taking a look at a headset, which is the TT Esports Shock 3D 7.1. Again, we talked about this last week because I was supposed to do it last week. But this yeah. is their...
still looks cool. Yeah, still looking forward to
7.1 virtual surround sound headset. I've been using it, so I can tell you that it is extremely comfortable. Extremely comfortable on my head, and I like it. I haven't really gotten into the 3D stuff as much. I need to really test that out in games and all of that. But a really cool headset, obviously USB headset, so you can plug it into pretty much anything.
Nice.
Yeah, looks to work pretty well. Again, it's very comfortable so far, which is of course a big thing, especially when you're playing games for a very long time. And as always, I might have more stuff next week. Hopefully I don't get food poisoning or whatever I had this week.
Watch what you eat.
I don't know. I knew it had to be something that I ate, because you don't throw up and then have like diarrhea at the same from being like sick normally.
Not usually.
Yeah,
no.
So that was the issue that I was having this week, and it was not fun. But we got a lot of stuff out on the site for you guys. Anyways,
Bob likes food too much.
I do like a lot of food. If you follow me on Instagram, I like a lot of food. Anyways, so each week we talk about something that we did outside of the site. We both went and saw Jurassic World.
Yeah, along with like apparently everyone else.
Yeah,
that thing sold like crazy.
It had like the biggest showing or the biggest opening in history, right?
Something like that.
I didn't really follow obviously that, but
I kind of quit paying attention.
I went and saw it. What's crazy? So I went and saw it on I think it was a Monday, or you know, after the opening weekend at noon,
mm-hmm.
in the theater that I went to, which is like you know it's a Lowe's, it's a big theater, but
yeah.
So we'll put it in this context. Last week I went and saw Entourage. Obviously not as big of a movie, but no. I went and saw that the exact same day at the exact same time, and there was me and two other people in the theater, and I went and saw Jurassic World same time. The theater was packed. It was like it was opening night. Like there was no seats left.
Still?
Yeah, it was packed.
Were you pissed?
No, because they have the VIP seats, and we could tell that like when I went there with my buddy. And, you know, like, the VIP seats are, like, during the week, like, during the day, I think they're, like, $11.99 or something like that.
Okay.
And the normal tickets are $5. And we were just going to get the, you know, $5 tickets. And then we realized, like, there was a line to actually get tickets, which is weird.
You had to wait?
In line, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Normally, I do Fandango, but we were just like, oh, it's not going to be. It's not going to, you know, it's during the week. It's already been out for, you know, 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
And
everybody was
I know, I don't like waiting in line. Everybody was going for Jurassic World, so we're like, oh, let's just get the VIP, and you get to pick your seats, you know, like where you are. And we did that, and then paid another $30 for food or something like that. But yeah,
because you can't not.
Yeah, so so the movie I did like. I didn't think it was as groundbreaking or revolutionary or whatever you want to call it as the original.
No, it was none of those things.
And I felt it was very... The acting was...
The acting in like most Jurassic Parks, I felt, hasn't been phenomenal. It's never like amazing.
Yeah, and it was very unbelievable, I felt. Like, I didn't think that... Especially, like, they're good. Like the guy who owns the park is, like, the one flying the helicopter that's supposed to go take out the dinosaur. Like, and the thing is that you have these obviously these creatures that could kill people easily, right?
Yes.
And this creature has already killed people, and now the person that you're sending up in the sky is somebody who can't really fly a helicopter, and the fact that you only have one helicopter on the island, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. All that kind of stuff, and then just like the kids when they were like running from the dinosaur, and then they jump off the thing, they're not like in any rush to like get up and leave. Like, I don't know. I was just like, maybe you don't notice stuff when you're younger. Maybe like when the first Jurassic Park came out, obviously, it might have been, you know. But like, I just
the same.
Yeah, it just didn't. I don't know. It was cool though. I like the whole idea of them, you know, using the velociraptors to kind of hunt the other guy and how they were training them. That was actually pretty cool.
But how do we go from like the other movies where the velociraptor is the most dangerous uncontrollable thing on the planet to now it's our hunting pet?
Yeah, I don't know.
There was just a lot of, well, okay, there, for one thing, for me, it was, well, this is the same formula we've seen in all four movies now, you know? Oh, the dinosaurs broke out.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is how else are you going to do a Jurassic Park movie?
Right.
You know, that people like.
Yeah, and then, on the other hand, so that wasn't new, and then the other thing was that, oh, shoot, I forgot my point entirely. Nope, I lost it.
Okay.
Can't remember what I was going to say.
Way too early for you.
Yeah. This is a bad day.
Bad day for both of us. But yeah, that's... but yeah, I did like it. Again, people like gave it these rave reviews, said it was the most amazing movie they've seen in a while, and I just can't... I've seen a lot better movies lately than...
That's unbelievable. They're not going to other movies.
Yeah. Then. Everybody... Because I put it on Facebook that I said I wasn't that impressed, and a lot of people said, oh, you're like a movie snob, and blah. I'm like, no, I just... One, the whole concept of this thing getting out and them not being able to stop it is completely unbelievable for the amount, like, of,
for the day and age.
The day and age, and the amount of money that obviously they showed that was being put into this facility, have countermeasures so real people don't die. Because if real people die at your theme park, then you're done.
It's not like only a few people died this year. We're good.
Yeah, like...
No.
It's just not... Yeah, it's just... I don't know. But it was a good movie. I would definitely, if you want to go see it, it's a good movie to see. But we might have ruined it
I'll tell you what. I mean, if that island really existed, it looked like a really good vacation spot. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I don't know where it was actually filmed. Couldn't tell you.
I'm going to guess Costa Rica.
Yeah. You could probably look that up. But, yeah. So, yeah, that is pretty much it. We also want to say... that we are looking for new reviewers and writers. Because
Bob can't handle it all on his own.
This is true. Especially news guys. So obviously we talked about it last week. But you know, Derek, you can talk about writing for the site if you want.
Writing's fun.
That's it. Writing's fun. That's
yeah. Writing's fun. No. As long as if you enjoy writing and you enjoy tech. I don't know why you wouldn't like doing reviews for our site, honestly. It gives you a chance to be hands-on with a lot of different, you know, products that you might not otherwise see because you don't want to actually buy them all. So you get to play with tech. You get to maybe see what you want for your own builds, and you get to spend quality time with technology. And then so long as you like writing, I mean, it's, you know, that's not a struggle either because it's fun to write about it and, you know, help other people out.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we're a pretty tight-knit group here at Think Computers, and we're always looking for new people, obviously, to help out the load that I have. And I'm actually going to be doing a job section on the site where I'll be listing the kind of positions we have available and all of that. And by the time you listen to this podcast, that should be up. And obviously for news as well, like, I didn't really... When you cover tech news, because when we originally launched the site, we didn't have any news. We were just all reviews. And then I started doing news, and I got so much more into stuff because when you're covering news, you're obviously going out and finding the latest tech news and all the leaks and things like that. That like
you like know everything that's going on.
You know everything that's going on, and when you go to obviously events, you're like, oh, like people are like a. You know, like, oh, go check this out. I'm like, oh, it's been out already. Like, I already know about it. You know, like, you know so much more about the industry when you're covering the news. It's opened so much more. I've even learned so much more about products and about, you know, certain technology and, you know, certain, I guess, you know, thing. You just learn a lot more about the industry if you're covering it on a daily basis, which I do. So definitely, like I said, if you're into that kind of stuff and you want to be on the beat of technology, it's kind of something that it's just awesome to do. I love going out, you know, every morning and finding tech, you know, all this really cool tech news and being able to bring it to you guys. And we would love to have more people, you know, help us out and do that for us.
And maybe you're already doing that on your own, and why not turn it into something a little more lucrative?
Yeah, exactly. So that is where we will leave you guys for this week. Again, we always thank you guys for listening. We do this podcast for you. You can obviously subscribe to it. We have a full podcast section on the website, and that's where you're going to find all of our show notes from this episode. You can also go in iTunes and type in Think Computers, all one word, and we will pop up. Should be the first thing that pops up. And that is about it, and we'll catch everybody next week.